Very good. Appreciate the songs, Jolly. Appreciate the singing. Them songs are special to me. Over 40 years ago, that young lady sung that song. The same lady sung a song. She's a teenager. And I was fighting the call to preach and struggling, not wanting to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And she sung that song. After she sung that song, "And He Will Pilot My Ship," and I stood and surrendered and committed my life to preach the gospel just as soon as she got done singing that song. Been a long time ago. And I always think about that song. And I appreciate that. Not only that, I couldn't help but think about our people that's passing, our solid people, the ones we've looked up to for years. And I think about the song she just sung. Or some of you remember Shirley Heartless, Frank and Shirley Heartless. On a Wednesday night prayer meeting, Shirley stood up and testified, never said a word, usually never said nothing. Sing the choir a little bit, and I'll talk. But she stood that Wednesday night and sung that song without music at a prayer meeting and went home to be with Jesus on Saturday morning. It was the last testimony she had. All of her sins was nailed to the cross. I'm wanting you to understand this thing is real this morning. This thing is real. I can rejoice. Of course, some of us have been in this thing long enough. We got memories some of y'all ain't got. We understand that. And we've been in this thing to see a lot of things take place. But the Lord is good. And again, I find Him to be faithful. Turn to John chapter 20. We'll be preaching out of the Gospel of John again, chapter 9. And that's where we'll preach from. But we want to read our text verses, the ones we've been reading, in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Again, this morning, I urge you to listen carefully and that you examine your own heart and your own mind. And this month, we'll probably finish up maybe in a series in John. We don't know that for sure, but we've been preaching through the Gospel of John. My biggest concern is that people know the Lord. So I want you to think about yourself this morning to see if you truly know the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together, can we? Father, I come. Lord, You're so wonderful to me. And then I look at this congregation and I see how wonderful You are to them as well. The ones downstairs, the ones watching live stream. Lord, what would we do without You? I don't understand how people live without You. I don't understand how they go a day without knowing You and speaking to You and You speaking to us through Your Word. And Lord, how needful we are. Now, Lord, this morning I'm asking You would search me out once again. Cleanse me, oh God. I'm a wretch, I know that. But Lord, if You would just cleanse me this morning and touch me fresh of Thy Holy Spirit power. Give me strength of mind, body, and spirit to be able to preach this morning. I ask that Thy Holy Spirit will speak to every heart. Every young person, every old person, matters not who they be. Those on live stream, those who will listen later on the internet, on the web page, whatever the case may be. I'm asking You this morning to speak and draw and move people to You. And we're going to thank You for all that You do. May You get all glory, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 simply says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through His name." Again, I want to read verse 31. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through His name." Today, the gospel to me is more real than ever. It still works. Nothing else works. The gospel works. It still works. That Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. How that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture, that still works to save a soul. Nothing else works to save a soul. You understand that? Nothing else works. You're not good enough. You can't be good enough. Probably if the truth was known, you don't want to be good enough. You want to maybe just barely. But as far as a goal, I don't know. I don't know that any of us really have a goal to be good. We got a goal to get in, maybe. And sometimes that hinders a lot of things, does it not? But I want you to understand that the gospel is real this morning. I don't know, maybe not a stronger time now that the truth means more to me this morning than ever. Truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. There's not a lot of truths. There's one truth. Do I understand that? There's not many truths. Now, you think about that now, what I'm saying. You go through life, look all you want, but you're not going to find there's not but one truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. And I don't know that it's any stronger in my life than it is right now. I don't know that it's ever been any stronger than making sure people know the truth. Because we live in a nutty society.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we live in a nutty society. That there's belief of all kinds of things. I mean, just anything. You know, years ago, they had that big thing out in California where they was kissing them frogs. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. It's been 20 years ago or maybe a little longer than that. I mean, it was a big thing. They was kissing frogs and I'm not, this ain't a joke. I mean, they was going out in the woods looking for a certain frog to kiss on. Because it give a certain hallucinogenic effect. So they was people that was, I mean, it was on the news and everything, if you remember. They was people traipsing through the woods looking for a certain colored, certain striped frog that they could lick on and kiss on so they could be out of this world. Huh? Now, is that nutty or what? And we got their kids. We're now, their kids are now in government. I mean, seriously, their kids are now in their 30s, 25 or so. I mean, so I wonder if that had any effect on them. I believe it did. See, that's why that I don't know of a time that the truth is more stronger in my heart and my mind than it is right now, knowing the truth and giving the truth, because there's so much foolishness out there. There's many people trying to be good and do works to get to heaven. If you don't believe it, just look on your phone. Look at all the selfies of people doing good. You don't take selfies of people doing bad. You take selfies of people being stupid, some kind of trick or something, you know, they're making a fool of themselves, or they'll help somebody and take a picture of them helping somebody. Right or wrong? That's where we're living at today. We're living in that today. People's trying to achieve heaven, trying to achieve eternal life. And it's always been that way. Yes. It's not just something new. It's always been that way. I don't know of a stronger time or a stronger feeling I have in my mind now, in my heart now, more serious than I do at the condition of the lost. Brother Rick was telling me this morning about some visits they made yesterday no concern. Talked to a gentleman that we have talked to countless times. At one time, just a few years ago, there was a slight concern, but now no concern, none whatsoever. We're talking to about a man that's nearing 80 years old, that there's no concern at all in his mind or his heart concerning eternal life, eternity, and Christ, anything about his sin. Nothing there at all. No concern. Can I tell you, that's a bad shape to be in. It's a bad shape to be in. I've talked to here lately, you know, in the last few weeks, we visited a lot of people. They've probably been now on the 900 visits made in the last 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. And I've never seen such unconcern in people whose name's on a church roll.
Right.
Who never attend church. Who never go to church. There's no concern in their mind or heart to go to church. There's no concern in their mind or heart to study the Bible, to study the Word of God. They say they pray. Well, they think praying is thinking something. I've never seen to be to, now I'm not on Facebook no more, but every now and then I will look. Cheryl will show me some things, and I marvel at the people who I know have been known for years, and they have professed to not know the Lord, but they're the first people that will say praying for you if you post a need on Facebook. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They will. I mean, I've known some of them all their life. Never known them to darken a church door, even for a funeral.
Right.
Never known them to be sober every day of the week. Never known them to be on regular ground every day of the week. But they're the first ones to say, "I'm prayers towards you." They think that they're talking to God, but they don't know God. I told you about the man that I met there the other day, and me and Luke and Levi were visiting together, and I'll tell you again this morning, there was two gentlemen there working on the truck, and I stopped by and I said, fellas, I told them who it was and what I was doing. I said, "I wonder, do you know the Lord?" And one fellow told me, "Yes, sir, I go to church such and such. We go this. The Lord has saved me. Give me a great clear-cut testimony." He was excited about it. The other fellow just kept his back turned. He just kept working. He wouldn't look at me. I said, "How about you, young man? Do you know the Lord?" "Yes, yeah, I know him." I said, "Well, the way you answered me, I think you know of him."
"Yeah."
And he just looked at me. I said, "Are you telling me you're a saved man?" He said, "Oh, no, I'm not saved."
"Right."
"No, I'm not no Christian." Well, I talked to him and told him that he needed the Lord and give him the tract and all that, give him the gospel. We walked away. Luke Nicholas tickled me. He said, "I'm confused. I'm confused." I said, "What about, Luke?" He said, "How can you know the Lord and not be saved?" I said, "You can't."
Right. That's right.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
How can you know the Lord and not be saved? You can say you know a lot of things, but if you're saved, there's something takes place in your life.
Amen.
Are you following me there this morning? And that brings us here now to John chapter 9. We'll give you just three little thoughts this morning in John chapter 9. Three simple maybe words that you can remember. And I want you to think about them very seriously. We go through John and we know that he's doing miracles. And he's showing people that he's God. But the things he done, we've looked at him feeding better than 15,000 with a couple of fish and a few handfuls of biscuits, and just showing us how big he is. You know. But now we come, he's having a personal encounter. Now, can I tell you, he had a personal encounter by the well of Jacob when he talked to the Samaritan woman. He had a personal encounter when he talked to Nicodemus about his own personal life. You know, he talks to us personally. Sometimes he'll talk to us while we're in a crowd. He'll single us out in a crowd and talk to our heart, and maybe nobody even knows about it. But then sometimes he comes right straight to us. Talks to us right one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, and talks to us just like he did Nicodemus and the woman at the well. Now we find him here. Let's look in John chapter 9, verse 1. And it says, and we're going to read down through verse 11 and come back just for a moment. It says, "And as Jesus passed by," can I tell you this morning that Jesus is passing by? Can I tell you that He's passing by where you're sitting this morning? He's passing by in your life, in the time of your life right now. He's passing by. He knows every need mentally. He knows every need spiritually. He knows every need physically. He knows you up and down. He knows all about you, and He's passing by right now. And look here it says, and as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did this sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, I always like neighbors. I got good neighbors back here, but it says the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, let me stop here at verse 8. The neighbors seen a man that was blind, now he's walking away seeing. The neighbors saw what happened to the blind man. Everybody catch that? Verse 9 says, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. You ought to mark that right there. Verse 10 says, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? Verse 11 then says, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Ain't that most wonderful? I don't know. That's going to be a hard one to beat when we go writing down all the miracles that the Lord done. That's a hard one to beat right there, is it not? The impact that it had on the neighbors. The impact that it had on the man. The impact that it had on the disciples. I mean, there was a lot going on there. And when we think about this, I want us to look at this blind man. The truth about blindness, if you would. It says here in the second verse, and the disciples ask him, saying, Master, who did see in this man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus made sure they understood that this man didn't do anything to make himself blind. He was born that way. He was born that way. It wasn't because of any act that he had done. He was born that way. Can I tell you this morning, blindness in the Bible is compared to lostness. And if we look at spiritual blindness, lostness, I want you to understand that we're all born blind, and it ain't got to do with the deeds we're done. We're born that way.
Amen.
We're born that way. And it wasn't the sins of my dad or my mom that made me that way. Can I tell you, we go all the way back to when man was in the garden and sinned, and man's born blind. But the Bible says there's a different kind of blindness here. This man here, he was blind, and he was automatically, it seemed like a beggar. You know, it don't say there in the first couple of verses that he was a beggar. But we go over and read in verse 9, and it says, is this not he that was begging? Or verse 8, is this not he that sat and begged? The blind had no place in society. They had no place of prestige. There was no place to make a living. And the only way they could be cared for after they were grown was to sit by the wayside and with a tin cup and depend on somebody else to get them through.
Right.
Can I tell you that that's what you're doing if you're lost this morning, you're spiritual blind, that you're depending on somebody else to get you through.
Right.
Not the Lord. You got a handout. You got a handout. You're trying to do good, want people to do good, and you're trying to get involved with that. A lot of people are religious. They join church trying to, well, if I can get associated with them, that'll make it good enough. If I can be a part of them, then how many of you ever put got a rotten apple in a rotten potato in a bag?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything stinks any worse than a rotten potato? I mean, it's awful, ain't it? But you know, all them good potatoes don't heal that rot.
Right, right.
Do you know that? All them good potatoes, you know what they'll do? They just turn rotten too.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Can I tell you that just being around good stuff don't make you better?
Right.
Don't fix you at all. Because you're blind. You're spiritually blind. You're out there without anything in darkness, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. For the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, lest they believe the glorious gospel of Christ. That the devil has blinded, the enemy has blinded your mind and your heart. That if you're spiritual blind this morning, you may see me, but you don't see the real me. You don't see on the inside. You can't see on the inside. You're dead in trespasses and sin. You're in darkness. But can I tell you that any blind person, though they may not see the light, they're aware of the light.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know that? Anybody that's blind, they can tell when it's daylight. They can tell if they're in the sunshine. They can tell if they can, what would be a better word than they can feel the presence of the light.
Yes.
But they can't see. They've never received the light. They never received the sight. And that's the shape this blind man was in. He sat by the wayside begging, huh? There's been many a song sung about blind people, and we even sing Amazing Grace, you know, about I was lost and now I'm found, was blind but now I see. All these things was talking about this same way, the truth about blindness. You know that blindness has no personal cure?
Right.
Do you know that there's no medicine you can take for true blindness?
Yeah.
Do you know that? Do you know that dressing better don't fix your blindness? Do you know that talking better don't fix your blindness? Going to church, we done told you, that don't fix your blindness. Changing your ways don't fix your blindness. The only way somebody that is born blind can see, there has to be a miraculous touch from somebody bigger than anybody.
Yep.
Huh? Before they'll ever see again.
Amen.
There has to be a procedure. There has to be a meeting with some, an experience with someone.
Right.
That'll change that. Yeah, I want you to think about that. Think about the blindness that's become, blind people are desperate for light. If you're lost this morning, you're desperate. You're trying to feel something. You're trying to fill that void. You're trying to find something that's going to change what's in your life. There's a place that only the Lord can feel. There's a place there in your heart that only God, when He comes in, then it's full. Other than that, it's always empty. But all through life, people try to find something. That's why they dabble in things and they try everything. They try the things of the world, and they'll try good things, and sometimes people try bad things. I've seen some people that they get under the sound of the gospel, they realize they're lost, and you think they was right on the, just close to coming to Christ, and then they turn and go worse than they've ever done.
Right, that's right, that's true.
You know why? Because they're looking for something that's going to fill them, that they can see, that they can have a hand in. And this morning, what you need is you need a personal confrontation with Christ. That's what you need. You're not going to find what you need in the world. You're not going to find it with money. You're not going to find it with fame. You're not going to find it with any kind of prestige or honor. You're not going to find it. You're only going to find it with a personal confrontation with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now, once you have that, it'll never be the same.
Right.
See, some are trying to find their void filled through religion. We can't say that enough. Through religion of TV preachers, new cults that arise, new beliefs, as we mentioned a while ago, and that's all the good things. But you got to know Jesus. Do you understand this morning? See, the message is so simple. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through His name. The message is so simple, it's still Christ.
Right.
And I'm asking you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ? Has He made the change in your life? There are some changes that come immediate. There are some changes that come gradual. As we learn and grow, huh? But there's some things that happen immediate. I'm going to ask you, when did your change come this morning? When did your change come? When did you pass from death into life? When do you know? See, I'm Jolly's going to be baptized here in a minute, and I've been excited about her being baptized, and she was saved there on the back porch here a few weeks ago. But see, I watched her as I watched her grow up. I watched her sing with her daddy, especially her sing with Paul Jean and him about a song about daddy. And she wasn't that tall. She wasn't that tall. She sung. She knew all the right things to do. She knew all the right things to do. I watched her sing specials. Her and Pammy Sue watched her sing specials Sunday morning, Sunday night, over and over and over. Listen to her sing in the youth choir. Huh? She's helped in Sunday school class, taught Bible school, helped in Bible school, played the piano.
Come on now.
She went with me and Cheryl to revivals and babysit the boys when we would go to revivals, done everything. I watched her grow up all these years. All them years with empty place in her heart.
Yeah.
All them years with an empty place because she knew all the right things and knew all the right things to say and the right songs to sing. But she didn't know Him. And that's what she come. I didn't tell her that. She come and sat on my porch and said, I need to talk with you.
Yes.
I don't think I'm saved. That's okay. She had hoped, I'm sure, that I would say, yeah, sure you are.
Right.
But I wasn't going to do that.
No.
I said, that's you. You got to know.
That's right.
She said, I think I missed Him. In all this, I think I missed Him.
Right. Come on.
You know what she said when she knelt down on the porch over the couch, over the swing, and God said, she said, I'm sorry for not believing on You.
Right. Yeah, right.
That's what she said. I won't ever forget it.
Yeah.
See, you got to have a personal confrontation with Christ this morning. It ain't in all that you do. You're blind, and the devil's blinding you, and you got to know Him.
Excellent.
You got to have the touch. Not only do I want you to think about the truth of the blindness, I want you to think about the touch of Jesus. The touch of Jesus was so simple, He spit on the ground. Well, that knocks all the pride out of everything.
Yeah.
He spit on the ground. Made Him a ball of mud, a ball of clay. Put it on His eyes. Told Him to go wash in a pool. People say, well, it ain't got nothing to do with it. Listen, it was the faith in doing what He said is what made this man see. It wasn't the mud. It wasn't the pool of Siloam. It was that personal confrontation of faith believing on the touch of the Master's hand this morning. That's what makes the difference. And that's what He done. But I love it when it says, I don't know if that's Him or not. Yeah, it's me. I don't know if that's the one that was begging. I don't know if that was the one. But yeah, it's me. I'm the one. I'm the one that Jesus touched this morning. I want you to understand that touch is so special. Remember when you got touched? Remember when He touched you? Do you remember that? Huh? Oh, you better remember it. Oh, I remember a service. But I remember when I knelt down and he touched me. Jerry Rush, I want to ask you something this morning. All them Bible drills and all that Christian school and all that singing and all that leading the choir, did any of that amount to the night you knelt down over with them two green chairs? Did any of that amount to what happened that night just a couple of years ago? No, because you met him. Listen to me this morning. It makes a difference in whether or not you've just said you saved or went through some kind of religious thing, but whether you've had a personal experience with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that touch, all that touch. Ain't nobody touches you like he touches you. Huh? Nobody touches you. I look back here to Leah, and I've watched Leah sing. They put a chair behind the pulpit, and she was staying on a chair and sing behind the pulpit. But that night here just a couple years ago when you had the phone call late and can't go no more, huh? You had to experience Christ. I'm not trying to make you doubt. I'm trying to make you sure that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior this morning. Huh?
Yeah.
Old Jason, we're going to baptize Jason here in a minute. He laying up here in the hospital. Was having a stroke and laying up here, didn't know what was going to take place. Huh? Let me tell you something. He had done figured out all them past 40 some years wasn't doing him no good. But when I walked in his room, he said, it's time I get things right with Jesus right now. It's time. He didn't care about talking to the preacher. He wanted to meet Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning? Have you met Jesus? Have you had that personal confrontation with Christ? Huh? For his touch, man, there's nothing no better than his touch this morning. But I'm glad he don't quit touching you. I'm glad he touched me and saved me. But oh, man, he's touched me many a time since then. He's held me up close when my heart's been broken. He's held me up close when my mind's been confused. He's held me up close when I've been in the deep holes of blackness and darkness. He's held me up close when I've been sick in body. Hey, there ain't nobody can touch you like him this morning. He's real every day. Listen, he's not real some days of my life. He's real every day of my life. He's not just real on Sunday. He's as real on Monday as he is on Sunday. Oh, hallelujah for a Savior that'll touch you this morning. He's real this morning. He's real, but you got to know him. You got to let him touch you. You got to have that faith to do what he says. He says, come, believe on me. That you might know that he's the Son of God and that by believing you might have life through his name.
Yes.
We all right this morning? Just a simple personal encounter. Nobody remains the same. Nobody remains the same. Can we look at it? Chapter 9, see if he remained the same. Verse 1 says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Well, he's blind. He's blind. Verse 8 says, is not this he that said and begged? Well, he's a blind beggar. Huh? And then verse 10, they said, well, how were thine eyes open? This how? How? Teddy, how? Can you tell me how your eyes was open, Teddy? How was your eyes open, Bob? How was your eyes open? Hey, and we don't know. We can't explain everything. But can I tell you what he said? A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed, and I received sight. Ain't the same. Ain't the same. You can't meet Jesus. Huh? Now, I give you the truth of blindness. I give you the touch of the Savior. Can I give you a testimony of one that was blind?
Yeah. There you go.
How about we look at verse 24?
Mm-hmm.
It says, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now, Here's the Pharisees trying to make Jesus out to be a sinner. They ain't worried about that boy getting his eyesight back. They didn't call his mom and dad. His mom and dad was so scared. They said, he's asking him. I ain't me saying nothing. Verse 25. Look at the testimony. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know. That whereas I was blind, now I see. That's the testimony of one that was blind. I don't understand all about the Trinity. I don't understand all about how the Bible got here. I don't understand how Noah got all them animals on the ark. I don't understand how this is. But I know this. I was blind, but now I see. See, I don't understand how all the things in the tabernacle point to Christ. And I don't understand all the feasts and all them begats. Oh, I read the Bible, I'm so confused. Who done what and when and with who. And I don't understand, but I know this. This one thing I know, that I once was blind, but now I see. We're not asking you to quote the Bible. We're not asking you to understand it all. We're just asking you this morning that by simple faith you call on the name of Jesus Christ, believing He's the Son of God, and that by believing you can have eternal life this morning.
That's right.
And then you can say, I don't understand all this other. But this one thing I know, I once was blind. But now, I see. I see. Can you see this morning? Can you see this morning? See, it's so simple. Oh my, it's so simple. It's so simple. You say, well, that's all I got to do is believe. Yeah, that's all you got to do is believe it. See, you can't work for it. You can't be good enough. You just got to believe what He says. Huh? I don't know. I don't know whether he be a sinner or not. But this one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. What about you this morning? Is that your testimony? I don't understand it all, but I remember when I was blind. But I'm not that way no more. I can see. Can you go back? Can you go back when it was? Can you go back to the Sunday or Monday? I love when we sing the song, it was on a Monday. I always wonder why we don't start on a Sunday. I'm a little covetous. You ought to start on the first day of the week. I got to wait. I saved on a Sunday night. But it was on a Monday. You know, I always look back. I know when some of you got saved. I always look for Butler to stand on Tuesday. Butler and Philip always stood on Tuesday. Always waiting, looking. When Friday comes, Cheryl's playing the piano sometimes when they sing it. I watched her. She raised her hand. She can't stand up, so she raised her hand. But she'll get right in the middle of a note and raise that hand on a Friday. Does me good to know. When Marcus is around and they sing, it was on a Wednesday. I watch old Marcus stand. And I got to wait and sit there and wait and wait. Then they go, it was on a Sunday. Somebody touch me. Oh, I can't wait to stand. Because I know when He touched me. Do you know when He touched you this morning? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that for sure? If you don't know that, what you ought to do is slip out of your seat right now and come. Cheryl, you come on the piano. Clark, you get us a song, Just As I Am. I wonder, would you not like to just come on and know Jesus this morning? See, Jesus is passing by, and He's passing by your bench this morning. And He's looking there, and He's passing by one that was born blind. One that was born blind. Say, you preacher, I don't understand why I'm a sinner. You know, the Bible says, Romans 5:12, it says, wherefore, because one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Talking about Adam, and we're born that way. And then it says, and death by sin. You know, the Bible says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you say, yeah, but what about me, preacher? Well, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. You're included in all that. See, one of the greatest verses in the Bible is Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. I don't know of any greater news than that Christ died for me and you. Do you know him this morning? Romans 10:9-10 will tell us this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made as a salvation. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's in the heart. It says in John 10:17 or 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That easy. I'll ask you to bow your head this morning. Do you know for sure you're saved? One of these days, Boyd, I'm going to preach my last sermon. I hope I'm not preaching on how to cope. I hope I'm not preaching somebody how to hold on. I hope I'm telling somebody if they just believe on Christ. Most important thing I can preach to you this morning is that you trust Christ. And I wonder, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and come on. Brother Dennis is coming to the front. He's going to help you. Tristan is going to come over on this side. Brother Rick will be here. Brother Boyd will be here. We'll talk to someone. I'm going to ask you, if you're not saved, won't you slip out of your seat and come on to the Lord Jesus this morning? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? There's something missing in your life. You know it. There's something missing. The world's passing by. And there's something missing in your life. And you need Jesus Christ this morning. I'm asking you, won't you come? Won't you come? Brother Rick Dennis, there's someone coming right there. Won't you come? Yeah, won't you come? Won't you come? They're coming. They're coming. Maybe you're not right with the Lord. Maybe you say, preacher, I've been saved, but man, I went sideways. I went sideways. It ain't where I ought to be. I've walked back from what I've promised him. Told him many a promise, and I've lied to him. I didn't mean to. Didn't intend to, but all things just happen. I wonder, maybe you'd like to slip out of your seat and come this morning. Tell him, God, I sure am sorry. You know what he'll do? He said, well, just try it again. Let's go. I'm with you. I forgive you. Won't you come? They're coming. They're coming. Won't you come this morning? There's something missing in your life. You know it ain't right. You know it ain't right. You're trying. You're hoping. You're searching. Oh, you need Christ this morning. You need Christ this morning. You need Christ. You need Jesus in your heart. Oh, won't you come? Church, let's stand together. Let's sing his old hymn. You come.